Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8. And as I like to state, Romans chapter 8 is probably the most read chapter of scripture, as it is the foundation for most Protestant theology. It comes out of Romans 8. So we're going to look at some verses this morning from Romans 8, 18 to 21, about being called into service. And then we're going to hear from our guest this morning. Starting at verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And we know that all things are God's works for the good of those who loved Him, who have been called according to His purpose. This is the word of the Lord. Our guest speaker this morning is Aaron Patton. Aaron, it's good to have you here. Aaron went through a spiritual call experience that led her to Romania, of all places. And we're going to hear her story this morning. She's going to share some slides with us. She'll be available after the service if we want to ask more questions of her as well. And I'm looking forward to this. So we don't have a children's story this morning. This is part of the children's story, so we have some little extra time to hear Aaron's story this morning of her call and her service in Romania. Aaron, welcome to Dune.
I've been asked today to share about my volunteer work in Eastern Europe, and I'm always happy to do that because it's something I'm pretty passionate about. Irma Woodhouse actually used to attend my church in Ivy, Ontario, so she's watched me grow up, and she was actually my Sunday school teacher. So her support has been amazing of my work in Romania. So I'm happy to be here today. I first started volunteering in 2007, and I've made 8 trips to Eastern Europe, ranging from 4 weeks long to 1 year long. I've worked on projects in Moldova, Bulgaria, and Romania. And I'm going to be talking about Romania today because that's where the majority of my work has been. To put everything into context, here's some background information. From 1965 to 1989, the communist dictator Nicolae Ceausescu ruled in Romania. Ceausescu's vision for Romania was to create an urban superpower. To achieve this, he tore down villages and moved everyone to apartment complexes in the main cities. Along with this, he made abortion and birth control illegal and taxed women who had less than 5 children. The country's debt put a damper on Ceausescu's regime, and he began exporting whatever goods possible from Romania and controlling the heat and electricity, leaving the Romanian people freezing with virtually no food and living in fear. This picture shows the apartment blocks that he built. families found themselves unable to afford to care for the many children that were being born. So orphanages were built to accommodate the massive numbers of children being abandoned. Ceausescu condoned these orphanages as places where children's needs would be met and they would grow up to become the citizens of his superpower. Parents were encouraged to place their children in these institutions as they would receive food and shelter. Parents came to believe that they were doing what was best for their children. The orphanage system couldn't cope with the number of children, and when the Iron Curtain was withdrawn in 1989, the world was exposed to the conditions the Romanian children were living in. Now, almost 30 years later, many things have improved, but the Romanian people are still deeply scarred from Ceausescu's rule. When I'm in Romania, I live in Brașov, which is a large Transylvanian city in central Romania. It's beautiful and historical, surrounded by the Carpathian Mountains. I stay in a volunteer house with short and long-term volunteers, and I stay in the very top apartment. Brașov is one of the main tourist cities in Romania, and it's really beautiful with all its colorful buildings. I enjoy escaping to the countryside. However, this always involves lots of hills, which I do not enjoy. I came upon this establishment, and I'm not even sure if someone's in that shack or not. This is a view of a smaller village. Horse and cart are a regular mode of transportation in the smaller villages and in the gypsy areas. I met a shepherd on the side of a mountain with his herd of sheep. He decided to sit next to me, so I bridged the language barrier with some cookies. When in Romania, I collaborate with several charities on a variety of projects. Life in Romania is full of surprises, and having an open mind and being flexible are requirements every minute of the day. I find myself being involved in everything from consulting with local foster care groups, attending conferences and meetings to tackle the orphan problem, fitting wheelchairs and walkers, leading groups for children and adults with disabilities, and visiting clinics, day centers, orphanages, and hospitals, and also visiting families in their home, and accompanying teams of therapists that come from England and the U.S. Here in Canada, I'm an occupational therapist. OT is an emerging profession in Romania. There's a huge need for this work, so I'm never short of something to keep me busy. The hospital project I work with is organized by Firm Foundations Romania. This involves feeding, changing, teaching, and loving the children that have been abandoned in the hospital. Orphanages for children under 2 years old have been shut down in the hopes that they could go to foster care families. Unfortunately, there aren't very many people able to do foster care, so the hospital ends up being the holding tank for abandoned babies. International adoption is still closed in Romania, so babies are stuck in this situation. The babies stay in their cribs and only experience human contact when they are changed or fed or to perform medical procedures. They stop crying because no one ever comes, and they literally stop growing. Some of the babies stay at the hospital alone for a short time while they're sick, because their parents work or have many other children at home. Other babies are at the hospital long-term because they have been permanently abandoned or have a medical condition. There can be up to 35 babies at a time between the floors of the hospital, but lately there's been fewer, so that's really nice to see. There are also a few older kids who love to join in. The hospital project usually has several volunteers from all over the world, and they come for a few days, and some stay for a few years. Some of the kids aren't able to get out of their beds, but even sitting and interacting makes a big difference in their day. I love the hospital project so that I can get my baby fixed. And I also work on basic developmental milestones. Even as I share my time between many other projects, the hospital remains one of my favorites. I think I'm having more fun than the babies here. The orphanage that I volunteer at is in a town about half an hour from where I stay in Brasov. This is the multi-level building. The building is run by the Department of Child Protection and houses, and each level houses children in different programs, one for low-income mothers, one for teens, and one for children that need temporary shelter. I work on the first floor, which is home to 35 kids with physical disabilities who are in state care. They range from birth to 20 years old. This place is called Speranza, which means hope, but the name is not a very accurate description. Because I have my occupational therapy training, I'm able to use some specialized skills to help these kids. A lot of people don't really know what occupational therapy is. OT is a healthcare profession that helps people of all ages perform everyday occupations or activities that they need to do or want to do. So for children, this means learning how to play, eat, get dressed, and wash. And to do those things, you may need to develop skills to hold your head up, reach, sit, stand, walk, and strengthen your hands. A lot of what I do is the basics, like getting the kids used to any sort of stimulation, such as a mobile or chimes, learning to interact and work on ball skills, some oral sensory work. This is Yulia. I met her 8 years ago when she was a baby in the hospital. 8 years ago, she interacted like a typical baby and had normal muscle tone, but she had clubbed feet. Now she's living in the orphanage for 7 years. She's rarely out of her bed. Her muscles are tense, and she only responds inconsistently. Seeing her regress like this has been really hard. The children at the orphanage are in their crib or bed much of the time, so even getting the kids out to let them move around freely helps them develop their motor skills. This little guy that's eating the chair is 3 years old. He learned to sit, crawl, and stand over the year I was there, so it was a pretty big year for him. There are four caregivers on each shift for the 35 kids. For the most part, they're a great bunch of women, and I've been able to build good relationships with them. The staff do care about the children, but they're overrun with just feeding and changing the kids, so they don't have time to give the kids the attention they need. Each year I go, I can tell the staff really appreciate that I'm a familiar face, because lots of organizations have offered help over the years, but they rarely stay committed. The small charity called Star International works in this orphanage, providing education and funding for beds, medications, developmental toys, and feeding supplies. I'm currently on the board of Star International. I work a lot on sorting shapes, puzzles, taking turns, and self-feeding. It's often too overstimulating to take some of the kids out of their bed, so we just play however they're comfortable. I do range of motion exercises, stretching and massaging their limbs and their muscles. I take a bunch of developmental toys with me and my therapy kit to Romania, and I need to take the toys back and forth with me every day, because if I left them at the orphanage, they'd get thrown out of reach or the staff would sell them. I always try to think of ways I can make my time in Romania sustainable after I leave. So I make profiles for each kid, describing what they like, how they interact, and how to help them learn. I also made a bag of tricks for any volunteers to take with them. And I work with Firm Foundations Romania to plan how they can send volunteers into the orphanage. And I've trained volunteers on strategies to work with the kids. A place like this orphanage and kids with such severe disabilities can be pretty intimidating, and I want to help volunteers feel more comfortable and give them some ideas to start. So I've also made some resources of instructions and activity ideas and developmental info. This little guy is Gabriel. He passed away a couple years ago, and he'll always have my heart for sure. He's 5 years old in this picture, and this is him in a newborn crib. So this is just to give you an idea of the size of some of these kids. The needs of these children are overwhelming, and it's great that I can use my OT skills in this environment. But because I have those skills, it's definitely extra torture knowing what they need, what they should be getting, and that they'll likely never get those things. I care for these children deeply, but many of them have compromised health, so watching them die is a very real reality. During my volunteer trips and working with these kids, my emotions are tested to their limits on a daily basis. There have been more times than I can count that I've prayed, just help me get through the next hour. Don't let the staff see the tears in my eyes. Show me what to do, God, because I have no idea how to handle this. The verse I refer to during times like these is Joshua 1:9. Be strong and very courageous, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Working with many different charities and the Romanian people, where I don't even speak their language, is challenging. I definitely do not naturally possess the patience and understanding that this requires. God gives me what I need as I need it in each moment. Star International also works with a few families who have chosen to keep their kids with disabilities at home instead of placing them in an institution. They are Roma or Gypsy families who are very isolated, discriminated, and marginalized in Romania. This is a picture of a typical house in the Roma village, which is usually home to about 10 family members. I did the initial assessment with these families, and other therapists go a couple times a year to reassess. With very basic health teaching to the parents and weekly visits by a Romanian home visitor, their progress has been huge. This is Georgiana and her mother, who were showing off some exercises they'd been taught at the hospital. And Star International funded transportation to and from the hospital to receive physiotherapy. Since the children I visit in Romania often require special equipment, this formed a connection with another Romanian charity called Hope Without Limits. They have a connection with another charity in England who sends over used equipment and wheelchairs. Here we are fitting Zoli with an activity chair so he is able to sit up to play with his sisters. The random connections you make in Romania surprise me all the time, but the network of volunteers and organizations is getting easier for me to navigate. Also, in partnership with Hope Without Limits, we were able to start a weekly group for children with disabilities in the community. It makes my heart happy to see these children experience life outside their home, as most of them have not had the opportunity to attend school or a social experience of any kind. Also, to see their parents, grandparents, and siblings see the kids in this type of group and learn that they are accepted and successful. And also to provide training and education to the Romanians that I work with. These are some of the amazing people I volunteer with every day. Some are short-term volunteers, some commit a year or two, and some have been living in Romania for 15 or more years. We've become really close, and I feel like Brașov is a second home. Leaving all the children behind every time is nearly impossible for me because they always keep a huge part of my heart and my thoughts. I was tempted every single day to up and run out of the hospital with those babies. I even tried stuffing Abel into my backpack. Proverbs 24:12. Once our eyes are opened, we can't pretend we don't know what to do. God, who weighs our hearts and keeps our souls, knows that we know and holds us responsible to act. Working in Romania has brought absolute heartache and absolute joy into my life. Being in a foreign country has made me realize that I need to rely on God every step of the way. And He has guided me and protected me in so many situations that shouldn't have worked out well. I have learned that God certainly has a plan for me to act. I know that I don't possess the skills or the knowledge that many of these situations take. He gives me what I need exactly when I need it. My work in Romania and God's work in me is still very much a work in progress. Thank you.